From the land of the free and the home of the Chiefs, this is the Locked On Chiefs podcast.
Welcome back to Locked On Chiefs. We have a great show for you today. We are digging deeper into this Chiefs win over the Jaguars with me, Chris Clark of Locked On Chiefs and Chiefs Digest, as well as Seth Kaiser of The Athletic. You know the crew by now. If you're new here, I'm Ryan Tracy, the founder of Rogue Analytics, and I run RGR Football on YouTube, so check that out as well. Little bit of news getting into late Monday, and very important because we got some good news and some bad news. Laurent Duvernay-Tardif may be back in just a couple of weeks, according to Andy Reid. Thought that fibula fracture was going to keep him sidelined for maybe till approaching the postseason, but they got some good news. It looks like it's going to be a few weeks, and they will have their right guard back. Very important guy, great cog in this offensive line, and somebody that I think they will miss in the meantime. On the opposite side, we found out that the hamstring injury for Justin Houston is significant, and it looks like he's going to be out probably that same few weeks, if not longer. We've all discussed about how Justin didn't look like he was 100% so far this season, and I think now we understand why. My guess is he's been dealing with that for a little bit, and finally it got to the point where it's an actual injury rather than just tightness or something like that that was bothering him. We also found out that Andy Reid said that Brett Veach is exploring options, and that means trades. That means all kinds of different things. I don't think there's a whole lot of free agents, so trade is probably the most likely. I clued you in on one yesterday, which just happens to be during Patriots week, I think is kind of interesting. I would be looking for Derek Rivers. He's another young guy, but I think he's got a lot of potential. He can play that outside backer spot. So I'd like to see them try to deal with Belichick either this week or next. But it looks like Veach is going to do that in order to try to spell some of the young guys. And that means Speaks and Tonnell Passney are going to have to play a lot. And hopefully D Ford is able to go as well. So keep an eye on that. But we're going to start talking right now. The Chiefs are still coming off of their big win against the Jacksonville Jaguars, that defense in particular. And we're going to talk about some of the nitty-gritty here. Seth is on with us from The Athletic. Make sure you're checking out his work there. Check out everything Chris is doing over at Locked On Chiefs and Chiefs Digest. And, you know, if you got time, watch some YouTube videos on RGR Football. Fellas, how are you?
I'm doing very, very well. I'm going to start saying this here because people keep saying it to me. It's a good week to be a Chiefs fan.
Where have I heard that before?
I don't know, but it just feels so right. It just rolls right off the tongue, especially after watching the Chiefs slap a beat down on what was supposedly the third or fourth best team in the NFL.
Oh, I hear you, man. Chris, they did not live up to their billing, did they, the Jaguars?
No, they allowed 425 yards of offense. That's not very Jacksonville-like.
Yeah. Well, the whole game, I mean, it was just – and here's the interesting thing for me, and this is what I keep coming back to. The Chiefs, I mean, they lost Houston to injury. Not super early, but relatively early.
First half.
Yeah, they lost him in the first half. They lost Jones to an ejection. Murray got hurt. Watts got hurt. And, you know, Watts is starting to show up. He's starting to flash. And he's getting more playing time, too. You know, Watts gets hurt. And then Ford gets hurt. And so, I mean, down the stretch, basically everything Jacksonville did on offense in the fourth quarter or even like mid-third on, I don't even care about.
Well, Ford didn't get hurt. He got ejected.
Oh, yeah, ejected. Yeah, sorry. I lost track of so many things. Well, he did say mean things to Bortles, so, you know. It was bizarre, man. I remember I was getting kind of frustrated there because, you know, even as Hunt is getting, like, you know, they're doing all this unsportsmanlike conduct penalties, and you got Telvin Smith sitting there being a tool. You see Ramsey yapping. It's like, okay, are we going to call this on both teams, or is it just the Chiefs can't talk? And that I'm usually not really big on refs, but that was annoying. I got very annoyed watching that. But anyway,
on Monday's show that was something that really annoyed me. Is you watch Jalen Ramsey talk, and you watch the other Jaguars defensive players talk, and they never got called for anything. The deep ball to Tyreek Hill, he was taunting him.
Yeah,
and nothing was ever called, so don't get it on that part. But, you know, Chiefs won, and they won handily. That game was not near as close as that score.
Right. And think about that. It was what is the final score? 30-14? And it wasn't even nearly as close. The Chiefs could have scored on that last drive in all likelihood if they'd tried. I mean, it wasn't even remotely as close as 30-14. And that's, again, that's with all those guys being hurt, all those guys out, Mahomes not throwing for a touchdown. I mean, Kelce dropped I wish that had gone through, because that was a laser. Because Ramsey was trying to bait Mahomes into throwing it to Kelce, and he didn't. And you know what I'm talking about, right? On the right side there in the red zone.
Yeah, Kelce dropped it.
Yeah, and Ramsey was trying to bait Mahomes into throwing that, and he couldn't catch up to it because Mahomes has too much arm. It was beautiful. And, I mean, you know, the little things like that, some red zone stuff, they've been great in the red zone this year, so I'm not too worried about it. But, I mean, really, that game could have easily been like 48-7. I mean, they beat them down. And, again, what I'm really looking forward to, and I've seen it a little, but I'm sure we'll see it more, is all these people that are going to be talking about, you know, it was Mahomes' first real struggle. You know, he threw two picks and didn't throw any touchdowns. So I'm really looking forward to that, because Tony Romo, as he was, you know, commentating on the game, was basically like, you know, Mahomes has been awesome and it doesn't show up in the box score. It was a lot of fun to watch.
Well, I will say this, though. I agree with that sentiment, only that, okay, he made his first big mistakes.
Yeah.
But, man, he rolled on like there was nothing to it.
Right. Yeah, that second pick especially. Now, the game was well in hand at that point, but he forced it when he didn't need to there. The first pick, I think that throw sailed on him.
Well, yeah, I heard the announcer say that Tyreek Hill stopped on his route, too.
I didn't even see that. I'll be taking a look at the film. But the reality is, you could watch in a way. It's funny, because if you just looked at the box score, you would swear that Bortles and Mahomes played a fairly similar game. Mm-hmm. And they couldn't have been more obviously different when watching the game. I mean, if there was ever a game to convince people that box score analysis in individual games is completely useless for quarterbacks, at least, you know, if you're just going by yards and touchdowns and that kind of thing, that would be the game. Because if you compared them side by side, they look fairly similar. Big yards, no touchdowns, some picks. But
Wait a second.
Hell no.
Bortles did something that Mahomes didn't.
Yeah.
Yeah, he passed the ball off his own offensive lineman's helmet for an interception.
And that is worth at least lauding a little bit. Man, that was but it was just it was a lot of fun watching. This was the Broncos was the first, there's these series of hurdles. I feel like this season for Mahomes has been like a video game. You know, you do your increasingly difficult levels, and then you fight the boss at the end, which I don't know who the boss is at this point, because, you know, the boss was supposed to be the Steelers defense, right? That had gave them all kinds of troubles, and he destroyed that. Or maybe the boss is, you know, the Broncos on the road and coming back in a game, destroyed that. And now it's this vaunted Jaguars defense, the only one in the NFL that can match up against the Chiefs talent-wise. And
they couldn't.
They couldn't. Box score be danged, they could not. The offense rolled over them all day, and they were moving the ball all day. And so it was just a whole lot of fun. Sorry, I'm rambling, but I'm excited.
You are all right. It was honestly as good as the offense did. I thought really the focus has to be on what the defense did, because absolutely, it's great to go home. But man, this was a turnaround, and for me, it was the emotion, the intensity felt like it was up a notch or three to me.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And not just the intensity, the tackling was better. The coverage was tighter. I mean, they just looked better in every facet.
And I would say that part of that has to do with who they were playing. I think that you look at who they were playing in the Jacksonville defense, and they've got to have pride and say, we're not going to be outdone by that defense.
Mm-hmm.
So well, I think that was big.
Yeah. Well, and Skandrick talked about that a little bit after the game. He commented on feeling like they were more physical. And they were physical. I mean, they were hitting. I mean, crud, they sacked Bortles five times. The one thing that struck me early on before Houston got injured and Ford got ejected, this was the first game I felt like the Chiefs' edge rushers were dominating the game.
Mm-hmm.
And when you say rushers, who do you mean exactly?
I mean, there's this Justin Houston guy who, I mean, you know, some people think that he's not very good anymore, which is hilarious. And then, of course, you know, Dee Ford, who clearly the MVP 5 games in. But I mean, Jones, Houston, and Ford, especially Houston and Ford, I mean, they were dominating that game prior to Houston getting hurt. And here's just a little tidbit for people who have had a lot to say about Justin Houston. Did either of you guys notice that when Justin Houston went out of the game, how much tougher the sledding seemed to get for Dee Ford?
Oh, yeah.
It's almost like being the primary focus of the opposing pass protection makes it harder to rush the passer, no?
Almost.
One would imagine. I mean, I could be wrong. I mean, who knows? But Ford, to his credit, when he saw individual matchups, he still won them, and he had some great plays down the stretch. He did really well. But what was interesting to me watching was Houston and Ford especially, but also Jones dominating the line of scrimmage. I don't know anything about the Jaguars' offensive line. Do you guys?
Just a little bit. Not a ton.
Well, they have Andrew Norwell, who they signed a huge contract in the offseason.
Right. Well, man, they should put him at tackle because their tackles were getting worked.
Yes, they were.
And Breland Speaks.
I think Cam Robinson is their left tackle to begin with, and he's out injured. So, I think that's part of it.
So that would explain that. But that was you're absolutely right, Ryan. The defense was huge, and watching the pass rush, and that was one reason why Bortles passed for 250 yards in the second half or whatever it was. There was just no pressure down the stretch. I mean, Speaks got there a few times, but not really. You know what I mean? You could just tell the difference in the drastic drop-off from Houston and Ford to Passanio and Speaks.
Well, yeah. And you also didn't have anybody that you could really spell them with at that point.
Right.
So that's a big two. Let's take a quick break, and we'll be right back.
You know, ever since we started this podcast, people are always asking us for advice. Usually, it's what team to bet on. And the truth is, we don't know who's going to win. But if you think you know, you got to check out MyBookie. Remember, who you're betting on is just as important as who you're betting with. That's why we always tell people to bet with MyBookie. They are the best bet this season. We'd only recommend a service that our listeners can trust has been good to us. That's why we're urging you to check out MyBookie. You win and they pay. They have live in-game betting and the most rewarding player perks in the business just for you fantasy guys out there. You can even bet on the over-under on how many fantasy points a particular player will score each game. Join now and MyBookie will match every deposit dollar one for one. Use promo code LOCKEDON to activate the offer. Visit MyBookie online today. That's MyBookie. And don't forget to use the promo code LOCKEDON when creating your account to claim that bonus. You play, you win, you get paid.
All right, so we've talked a lot about the defense. You want to talk about the offense a little bit? I mean, we do have a guy named Patrick Mahomes.
More defense.
Hey, you know what? How about the corners played well, too? And what? Yes, okay, good. Who is Lucas? Because I had someone said to me, it was really funny, it was like, I hold you personally responsible for the fact that I have no idea who Lucas is. And I was like, I don't know who Lucas is. Like, I'm sure at some point I acknowledged that they signed him.
I would hope.
But they claimed him, I believe, the first week of the season.
Yeah.
He was a claim.
All flavors.
Where was he from? Was he the
Miami?
He was the Miami guy. You know what? He is definitely someone I want to take a look at this week because, and you know, it's always tough, especially with safeties, to tell based on splash plays. But, man, I felt like I saw him a lot.
Yeah, I won't argue with you. I thought he played a pretty good – now, let me qualify that. I thought he played a great game.
Yeah.
I thought he came up big. But I have to say that at the time, it is the Jaguars' offense that was not clicking, and it was – they were really one-dimensional at the time. So
right.
He got to do what I think he is capable of doing. He played back, and he was able to read, and I thought he did a great job doing
that. Yeah, and I mean he was
– his INT return was good too.
That was cool. He was very – he wanted the end zone there. That was reminiscent to me of, like, you know, Eric Berry's early returns, you know, where you just – I mean, he just wanted the end zone so bad. The whole defense played well. I thought, you know, Raglan got beat on that touchdown. But beyond that, you know, Yeldon, I thought, would take advantage of them more in coverage. So I don't know what adjustments they made. But Hitchens in particular did not show up in coverage nearly as much as he did in previous games, which was a relief.
You're absolutely right. And I know Chris wants to talk about the offense, so let's flip that over, because what I noticed as well is for the Jaguars, mm-hmm. I didn't hear Calais Campbell's name.
Yeah.
I didn't hear Darius's name. I didn't hear much of Ramsey, to tell you the truth.
Yep.
I mean, in terms of making plays and making your presence felt, those guys were pretty quiet.
Absolutely. And I, again, Mahomes didn't put up a big statistical day, but you can see the problems that he gives pass rushers.
Wait a second. 300 yards isn't a big statistical day.
Yards are meaningless. Bortles had 400. Yards. Yeah, no one cares about yards anymore. It's just.
No, I know. I just think it's funny because we've been talking about TDs like they're like candy, I guess. And obviously he didn't get any passing TDs this game.
Right.
But I liked his running TD. I thought that was impressive.
Yeah.
I thought he was going to get drilled outside the running around, trying to get to the pylon, though.
Yeah. It was interesting watching him play against a great defense. And that's the thing with Mahomes. I mean, again, they were a few inches here and there from hanging a lot more points on the Jaguars, because the Jaguars could not stop them from moving the ball up and down the field, including, you know, in the third quarter when they, you know, they pulled within, you know, a couple scores, 23-7, you know, to where, I mean, considering the type of game it was, that's like the closest it got. And they just marched right down the field and scored a touchdown. I mean, it was a dominant performance by the offense, even if Mahomes' individual stats don't reflect it quite as much as like the Pittsburgh game. And one really cool thing for me that I wrote about right away after the game is this was a nice game for Tyreek Hill, who, even though he was, you know, he only had 4 catches for 61 yards. He had another couple runs for 26. And Ramsey, I thought, did a decent job on him for most of the day. But all it takes with Hill is a couple plays. And that third down, third quarter drive when the Chiefs needed points, Hill made up like 60% of the yardage on that.
Well, and Hill had been beating him, at least getting loose, when he wasn't targeted most of the day.
That was very good. That's one thing about having a game commentated by Romo, is he'll point out stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And he pointed out that Hill's got a wicked release. And it was really cool to watch, and Romo pointed this out, and so I wrote about this is the second week in a row that Hill has just, and the entire offense, because Ramsey was covering other guys too at times, but Hill primarily has just worn out an elite corner, because Romo talked about it. They were shifting to zone coverages to give Ramsey a break, to let him catch his breath, and you could see him sucking air. And we're just a week removed from Chris Harris Jr. admitting like his whole body was cramping up trying to run around all day.
Yeah.
It's an interesting advantage.
It is an interesting advantage. I do have to ask you, though, Seth, do we need to worry about Patrick Mahomes? I mean, he underthrew Hill on that deep pass. He just didn't seem to have quite enough arm.
You know, it was interesting. I felt kind of bad because I actually put that on Twitter. I was like, you know, a little better throw here. And then I realized that it was 65 yards in the air.
I know. That's the crazy part about it.
Yeah. And so, but here's the thing. Hill still had a shot at it. And that safety underneath on that play, arguably, well, there's no doubt that he interfered, whether it's something that should be called, because he just basically backed into Hill and screened him away from the ball. Now, I guess you could argue he was going for the ball, kind of. But it was interesting that even with 65 yards on the field, Hill still had a shot at that. And I think he catches it if the safety doesn't back into him like that.
Well, and the safety has no chance of being in the play if the throw's 5 yards further.
Right. Or, yeah, maybe a little to the left. I mean, it's a tough throw to make.
Oh, no,
obviously. But that was an example of Hill beating Ramsey down the field. And this is just – I started to really look at it because Romo talked about it a little bit. And when you watch what like Harris and Ramsey had to do when they were in man coverage on Hill, Hill must be, in addition to being incredibly fast, he's got to be in unbelievable shape. Because they run him back and forth so often.
Yeah.
And then, you know, he sprints 60 yards down the field, then he runs back to the huddle, and then he does it again. Now, I think part of it is for Hill, like when he's just dragging a defender deep, he doesn't need to sprint. While the defender... he needs to sprint. Does that make sense?
Yep.
Yeah, it's like fuel economy, right?
Yeah, he's able to cruise going back and forth in motion while guys need to sprint to keep up with him. And again, this is the second week in a row that you've seen the defenses sucking air. And I thought maybe it was just, you know, well, you know, it's mile high, you know, the high altitude. But the Jaguars defense, they were tired at the end.
I completely agree with you.
And I think Hill, that's one advantage I never even really thought of, having a guy when you combine it with Mahomes, when you combine it with Watkins, because it's not like, let's say, okay, well, we're going to give you a break and what, put you on Sammy Watkins, who beats you in entirely different ways. I mean, they're just, there's no good answers there. And it was crazy to me watching the Rams, the Jaguars, try to play types of defenses that they're not known for playing. They were shifting into some zone shells and blitzing. Like, you know, Romo was like, whoa, they're blitzing. This is crazy. That, to me, says more than anything else that even the best defense in the NFL, unless you think of the Bears maybe as the best defense in the NFL, are saying, man, what we normally do is not going to work against this Chiefs defense.
Yeah, I think that's an admission that they're overmatched at that point.
And if they overmatch the Jaguars, you know, I mean, it was such a great game to watch. There's just so many good things that came out of it. And now yet another test, the Patriots on the road. But the deal is with this Patriots game, I want them to win it bad. But because they've done so well, I mean, eventually they're bound to lose.
Yeah, it's going to happen.
And I don't think it happens. I don't think it happens against the Patriots. I think it happens against, I think, honestly, they could lose against Cincinnati.
It's some letdown game or, well, Cincinnati's saying, is here.
Right. I'm not saying it's going to be a letdown game, but I do think that the LDT injury is going to hurt them. Right. I just don't see that helping. I just don't see that hurting them near as much against New England, who doesn't have the kind of defensive front that a team like Cincinnati or Denver the next week do.
Right. Right. And it's just interesting. I mean, I'm curious what the Chiefs offense looks like, because they've looked very good, but not like historically good these last 2 weeks. They've still looked very good, but they've gone up against arguably two of the best four defenses they'll play all year. Right. Yeah. I mean, Denver's defense is still pretty good. Jacksonville's defense is obviously very good. Like, that was supposed to be the Chiefs beater defense. Now all that's left is what, the Rams and the Bengals? I mean, what are the defense?
And the Broncos again, but yeah, obviously.
Right.
Right. Because, the Chargers were supposed to be, you know, too good a I mean, it's crazy to me to see. And no team, it wasn't like, you know, people, they started 5-0 last year, et cetera. But what we saw in that last game with the Steelers, we saw a team solve the Chiefs, and other teams copied that. I still haven't seen a team do anything that really solves the Chiefs' offense as of yet. And if anyone was going to do it, you'd think it would have been the Broncos or the Jaguars.
Well, let's take another quick break, and we will be right back to discuss that just a little bit further. Isn't it crazy how much we pay for new brand-name clothes? Why do we go buy new kids' clothes if they just outgrow them in a few months? Wouldn't it be great if there was a place to discover awesome discounts on gently used clothes? Well, there is. Swap.com, the world's largest online consignment and thrift store. Stop driving to the store after store and sifting through racks. Easily sift through millions of clothes in seconds on swap.com with easy-to-use filters to find just what you need. Over 14 million tons of textiles are wasted each year. Shopping secondhand at swap.com helps prevent textile waste from polluting the environment, which is something you could feel good about. With swap.com, you can save up to 90% off retail price on your favorite brands like Lululemon, Carter's, Nike, J.Crew, and Gap. Quality, hand-inspected items are added on a daily basis. If something doesn't fit, enjoy hassle-free returns within 30 days. We have a special offer for our listeners. Get 35% off select items for your first order with promo code LOCKEDON. That's 35% off with promo code LOCKEDON, plus find new deals every day on swap.com's homepage.
You know, I like what you said there before the break. Let me ask you this. I thought that second interception sailed on him a little bit, maybe because of the weight of a wet football and him trying to pump it downfield. Do you think if this is a clear day that those interceptions still happen?
I think the one down the stretch, the shorter throw, I think that one still happens. That was just, you know, he tried to force it on third and one. You know, he wanted to ice the game. I think that one still happens. It was a nice undercut. I don't think that the deeper ball, I don't think that happens on a non-rainy day because it looked like it got away from him.
Mm-hmm. I will not argue either of those. I thought, honestly, that the quarterback was not – and I hate to put it this way because everybody's so excited about him. But I thought, honestly, I thought his play was not the determining factor on either side of the ball. I thought, really, the edge that this team showed, Kareem Hunt getting yards when he needed to, the receivers coming up with plays. I mean, Conley had a nice catch. Watkins did a good job. Kelce had 100 yards really, really quietly.
Right.
I thought this was like a nice balanced attack on offense.
That's something worth noting. So you've got Kelce had 100 yards receiving. Watkins had 71. Hill had 61 plus 26 yards rushing. Hunt had like 60, 70 yards rushing and some receiving. You know what I mean? It was just balanced. There's just no right answer with the Chiefs. And I don't know what teams are going to do. I genuinely don't. Because Watkins has been as good as I'd hoped he would be. Hill has been as good. This is just crazy. I don't know what teams are supposed to do.
Let me ask you a question, though. And this is where Mahomes has really surprised me. How do you defend this offense when Mahomes is spreading the ball around to 9 different receivers in a game? And they have a fullback that runs a corner route that looks like he should be a halfback.
The fullback.
The fullback. Well, that's the thing. The supporting cast, it's really easy to get hung up on Kelce, Hill, Watkins, and Hunt. And for obvious reasons, those guys are all stars, right? You could take away one of those guys and still have one of the best 2 or 3 playmaking groups in the NFL. And you add those 4, and I would say there's no team like that. There's no team like that. You know, maybe the Steelers if Bell were around, but even then the tight end differential is so huge. And so it's easy to forget that Conley and Robinson and Sherman, and DeAnthony Thomas, they have decent role players too. And so what are you supposed to do about that? Because Mahomes will throw to any of them. So I don't know. I don't have an answer.
But what makes this offense so much better than last year, and I hate saying this because it sounds like I'm going to be taking a shot at Alex Smith, but you put Alex Smith on this team, it's not the same offense and it's not the same threat. The way Mahomes has been playing, Alex never played.
Yeah, I could agree with that. I mean, it's the reality is they're just very different quarterbacks, and Alex can't – this is just the flat-out truth in my opinion. Alex never ran the offense at as high a level when things were going well as Mahomes has done this year, right? We've never saw like a juggernaut like what we saw in the first half against the Niners or the entire Steelers game or most of the Chargers game. Alex – it was like 90% of that, right? Because every now and then the offense looked amazing.
But Patriots game last year, they looked amazing.
They looked amazing, but I would still say they didn't look 35 points and a half amazing.
No.
And so that there was a bit more of a lower ceiling there. And here's the difference what we've seen this year. You know, the floor against Denver, against the Jaguars. I mean, when you think about it, those are the two floor games this year. And what they put up, 27 points and then 23 because, you know, there was a defensive touchdown. So 23 points was the floor. And that 23 points is, again, it wasn't a game where they were trying to score at the end.
And no, they're trying to run the clock out.
The ceiling is higher and the floor is higher. And there's just – Mahomes is playing the best football of anyone in the NFL, any quarterback. And now we're 5 weeks in. He's faced the Jaguars. He played well against them too. I'm perfectly comfortable saying that at this point. He has been the best quarterback in the NFL so far throughout the season.
Oh, yeah. You won't get an argument from me either.
And now the defense is showing up. I mean, come on. It doesn't get better than this.
Well, and if they're right and they can get Barry back, this is a defense that can improve yet again and be somebody that is not just keeping up their end of the bargain, but can actually help them win games.
Right. And that's what they did against the Jaguars. They not only kept up their end of the bargain, they helped win that game.
Yep.
Because they did a great job with stops and dominating the line of scrimmage. Now, again, the Patriots, they are a tough offense to play.
Yep. And say what you want about, you know, Dee Ford and Justin Houston getting hurt and Dee Ford getting ejected. I like that the young guys are starting to get snaps. I wish I would have seen more of Dorian O'Daniel in there because they're going to need him down the stretch. I think they're going to need all the young guys, and I was impressed with what I saw from Watts as well. Going to be interesting to see who's going to be available for the Patriots game. That's a huge game for Kansas City.
That is definitely a huge game. Nothing would surprise me at this point, but I'll tell you that Patriots defense is much, 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 much worse. Now, never count out Belichick. But so far, they have been a much worse defense than what the Chiefs have played the last couple weeks. And Andy Reid traditionally has done all right against Belichick.
I would say he's done very well against Belichick.
And so is Bob Sutton. And so this will be an interesting game to see. But, I mean, the hype is already – I mean, it's just going to keep growing around the entire team. Because that's the thing. The hype has been largely around Mahomes. Because Monday night game felt to a lot of people like Mahomes kind of dragged the team to victory in a lot of ways. This was an entire team win. This was the Kansas City Chiefs are a better football team than the Jacksonville Jaguars. And I think people are going to have to start to acknowledge this is not just a one-man show. This isn't just a flashy playmaker every now and then. The Chiefs team as a whole looks really, really good.
Well, and I want to leave you with this thought as well, because the other thing that we saw is, yes, the Chiefs are not alone yet. I thought maybe they would be, but the Rams did end up winning their game. So there are still two undefeated teams. But that vaunted L.A. defense gave up 31 points to the Seahawks, who couldn't block their way out of a wet paper bag 2 weeks ago.
Correct.
So the fact that this team is ascending and the Rams seem to be sputtering a little bit, there is a contentious thing to say that this Chiefs team not only has the best quarterback, but overall, top 53, they have the best team in the league at this moment.
I wouldn't argue with you on that. I mean, I think, you know, the Rams will stay at the top of all the power rankings because generally speaking, you stay at the top till you lose. And hey, fair enough. But
the Rams lost a lot of good players in their game against the Seahawks.
Right.
And they did not look unbeatable against the Seahawks. I mean, obviously it's a divisional game, but it looked like they had some weaknesses.
Well, someone's going to have to figure out how to slow down that McVay offense. It'll be interesting to see how losing Cooks affects them.
And Kupp went out with a concussion as well.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Oh, did Kupp? I completely forgot about that. So we'll see how dependent they are on playmakers there. The NFL season is a war of attrition. I mean, that's just a big, big part of it. And so that is going to be a great matchup. I'm excited for that. That could be like a 50-50 something game.
Oh, man, it's going to be interesting. Folks, make sure you're checking out The Athletic. Seth's stuff will be up there. Chris will have stuff on Chiefs Digest, and we have things posting to Lock on Chiefs still. I'll have a video up here on Wednesday for looking at the field from this, and we'll have another one for pregame next week. Thank you for your time, folks. Anything that you do, the iTunes reviews, all that, we appreciate all of it. If you want to talk, hit us up on Twitter at Locked On Chiefs and all of our individual accounts. Thank you for all of your time, and we'll talk to you tomorrow.
Subscribe to the show on iTunes or Google Play. Follow the show on Twitter at Locked On Chiefs. Check out my work at RGR Football on YouTube, Chris's work on LockedOnChiefs.com, and all of Seth's film analysis at TheAthletic.com. Thanks for listening.